Okay, someone talk into a microphone.
Jenny's talking into a microphone.
Test.
Okay, I think that's working.
So we have everything but the agenda, right?
I
think that's the agenda of the Democrats caucus.
Really?
Yeah, we put it back because we
very quietly said
we want to be centuries after the
an old one back.
Copies of that? Or
actually, I have my own copy. Yeah, I know he has a copy.
That's enough.
I have a copy.
What about that?
They emailed the parent emailed the agenda to us.
Grabs a lot of money. I'll talk about it. Actually, what's the is that the minutes?
Yes.
Always got to do one. Always got to do one. You know?
Jenny, you have your own minutes?
You're not ready to do one.
I do.
That is that way. Don't hold me. You just got to get everything you want. You're not ready to do it.
Everybody have an email from Andy Levy on race categories?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Do we know? Oh, you're going to chair?
Well, we'll do that in that particular minute.
We don't have Aaron.
Right. We have a quorum. So let's call the meeting order. It's 5:38, 5:37. The CACJS committee, I think that's right. It's October 9th in the Shields meeting room. We have no chair or vice chair here, so with the consent of the members present here, we should elect a temporary chair as a nomination.
I nominate Vice President.
I second.
Well, okay, the problem is I have to leave here at quarter after 6. I just let you know that Alex said that's a...
Okay, that's fine. We have to realize...
Perhaps, and then Matt Gladney might be better. Can you stay, Matt?
Yes, I mean, that's... You're as long as you need to.
I mean, maybe you would be better since you don't have to leave abruptly.
We have motion for...
Yeah, motion for... are there any other nominations?
I nominate Matt Gladney.
We have a nomination by Ms. Putnam from Matt Gladney, second by Judge Clement. I will be finally throw my name, Mr. Gladney, if you'll keep yours in there.
Sure.
Allotted by affirmation. Yeah, all in favor of Matt Gladney as temporary chair?
Aye.
All opposed, motion carries.
I'd like to.
Madigan method.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
I will lock the door and bring up the song.
Okay. I guess I'll go through the roll and see who is here. Jenny?
Here.
You ready to take notes of those?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Aaron Ammons and Trish Avery are not here. Bill Brown?
Here.
Brian Dalinar?
Here.
Barbara Kessel? Not here. Joan Miller? Jenny Putman?
Here.
Irene Corr's not here. Patrick Thompson's not here. Ken Turner?
Here.
I'm glad you're present. Pius Weibel.
Here.
Judge Stefanis.
Here.
Roger Holland.
Here.
Randy Rosenbaum.
Here.
Okay. believe that's everybody. Have a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Moved by Holland, seconded by Lefanis. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Can I have a motion to approve the minutes from the September 25th, 2009 meeting?
Maybe folks would like to take a minute to read them.
Well, you just need to get the motion. So moved by Pius.
Second.
Seconded by Turner. Okay, folks like to take a minute to read over the minutes. If you have any questions, feel free to raise those. Ms. Pop.
I have a question about the correct terminology, and so I would like Brian to tell me, in the section under public participation, did I correctly say, refer to civic engagement initiative, a UIUC registered student organization? Or is it more like is civic engagement initiative a concept and not an organization as like a proper noun?
I think it's from student chancellor's office, but it's not really a registered student organization.
Okay.
I think you could just delete what was in parentheses there and kind of fine.
Thank you. On the second page under new business, I refer to it a grant proposal to the Office of the Chancellor, comma, which promotes civic engagement initiatives. Is that okay? Word it like that?
Jenny, I think this is the Chancellor's office.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the correct language, the University of Illinois Chancellor's Office of Civic Engagement, Office, comma, Civic Engagement Initiative.
Okay, the Chancellor's Office.
So that's currently Chancellor.
Okay. Thank you.
People want more time to look over the minutes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Public participation. Item 6, brief discussion about the report given to the Justice Committee by Vice Chair Avery. This past Monday, Ms. Avery did come here to the Justice Committee and gave a report out to a committee about the progress of this committee thus far. There's also included in our Justice Committee packet a written report by Chair Ammons about the progress of this committee. Ms. Avery also passed out an updated version of that report. There was a good, presentation by Ms. Avery, good back and forth with questions from the Justice Committee. Mr. Rival was there that night, too. I don't know if he has anything to add to it, but... Yeah, I mean, we all know what we've been doing, so no reason to rehash that, but I think I had people comment after the meeting that they thought it was good and they were glad to hear the information.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to add a comment. Trish Avery made the oral presentation, and I was very impressed with the what ombuds role that we performed when Neil Parson had a bad experience, wrote a letter, and was very pleased with the service that he received from our courts administrator. And I mentioned that to the Justice Committee. Maybe they're not aware that our committee is achieving some visibility in the public. And people who, I don't want to hurt your feelings, Judge Stefanis, but folks who might feel intimidated from calling you to complain, they would feel comfortable going to Brian Dolinar or Barbara Kessler and saying, man, I really had a bad experience as a juror. And that was something that worked so well, and I mentioned it to the committee. Something else is when we talked about our strong wish to produce a video or a public service announcement or something in our media campaign, Alan Nudo, who's had some experience in public relations, mentioned GRPs, gross rating points, and he was talking about, is this correct? Am I saying it correctly, Matt? Ways to evaluate where, what audience, to what kind of audience you might want to market, whatever it is, but I hope that we'll be able to produce.
That sounds about right. And he was, Mr. Dudo from Justice was seemed concerned that, you know, we hit the right demographic and the right audience, and also that we would have enough money to actually put together. You know, he was concerned about costs and how much it would cost to run ads on the on those stations and for a particular period of time. Does anyone have any comments or questions about that presentation? Ms. Avery is here. Let the minutes show that Ms. Avery has arrived. And also that we have Kimberly Chronic here too. Item 7 is a review of the revised questionnaire. I know Judge Stefanis has handed, this is the revised questionnaire, I take it, handed that out to us. Judge Stefanis, I will let you talk about that now if you'd like.
Hopefully, and again, you need to review this, and it hopefully has what we have been discussing. And again, any suggestions for changes that the committee wants to make, we'll endeavor to get those done as quickly as possible. When I looked at the information that Pius gave us about the 2010 census race categories, that's a lot. And I don't know that I believe we are closer to the 2000 census categories. But again, please review it.
We know that there is a spelling error in question 8. Discrimination is misspelled the first time, so we will get that corrected. Yep. It's a simple typo.
Mr. Wren?
On the bottom after question 4, if you need your microphone. After question 4, is if you answered no to questions 1, 2, or 3, and yes to question 4, I think that should be or yes to question 4.
Correct.
And then my only comment on the race categories would be the census separates Hispanic as ethnicity. It's not a race because you can be white and Hispanic or black and Hispanic. So I'm not sure. I suppose if we made that a multiple choice where you mark more than one box, maybe that would take care of that.
And I do know that that is correct because when we did the question, the survey that we gave to the jurors, it was two separate questions. And the person's ethnicity with regard to Hispanic was a separate issue referenced as Hispanic. So I'm happy to figure out a way to separate that out, but that is accurate because I hope that's what Paula Hannaford-Agler was using as well.
I have a question. I think showing my naivete here, but on the back section where it has that area, it says prior jury service. I just wondered, so is jury service considered, you know, you get your summons, you go for that week, and you may or may not get put on a trial, or is jury service actually you have been seated for a trial and you were on the jury?
No, you actually were brought in whether or not you sat. Okay. When they check that box, the question I always ask is, it looks like you've been called for jury service in the past, yes. When you were called, did you sit in any trials? They'll say yes or no. Now, if they say yes, then the attorneys are going to cue off of that and possibly ask them some questions. But no, if you've been, if you actually came into the courthouse, whether you sat or not, that's jury service.
I have a suggestion as the last sentence in number 8 that might resolve our ethnicity question. We just change it to say, please fill in the response, and then in parentheses, we can ask what the response is, which best describe your race slash ethnicity. Would that pretty much take care of that? That way, if they want to fill out more than one response, they can. And that way, it's not a whole lot of changing in format. Again, and I don't mean to be the Jeff Morris here, but this is not like it's in Microsoft Word where you can just make 2 second changes and fix it. It's in a kind of a complicated process. So we can make that change if that's what you're looking for.
Section A, maybe this is what somebody else just mentioned and I didn't get it, but should it say if you answered no to questions 1, 2, and 3?
No, yes. 1, 2, or 3, or yes to question 4. Because if you're not 18 years of age, not a U.S. citizen, or not a resident, any one of those three will eliminate you from being qualified. Or if you have been a party to a law, or if you are a party to a lawsuit now pending in Champaign County.
Okay.
There's really not a way to make them all no's. I mean, there's not a way to really bring that, so we had to kind of change that, which is why we were.
Okay.
Yeah, we can do that too.
I have some comments about the race language, question 8, which was question 13 on the Montgomery County, Pennsylvania summons. The text begins with this statement about federal law prohibiting race discrimination, and it goes on to, you know, why we're asking the question. What would you think about first asking the question, or which is, please fill in the response which best describes your race / ethnicity?
I think the reason why it's there, put up there, is so people don't feel intimidated immediately by seeing that question and wondering why it is there to answer.
Okay.
Now, whether that really matters all that much, I don't really know. My guess is that's why they just wanted people to understand that the reason we're asking the question is because we want to make sure that there would be a fair cross-representative cross-section of the community.
Okay. And it is voluntary. Answering is not required, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. In the second sentence, then, where it says this answer is required to avoid discrimination in jury selection, maybe we should change the word required to this answer is sought or this answer is asked.
Or is necessary.
Right.
Necessary.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
The United States Supreme Court is going to take up a case that came out of, I believe, the Sixth Circuit, the Cincinnati situation, where they're claiming they did not have an appropriate cross-section in their jury pool, that they only had out of, I think it was 100, 153 people that were identified as African-American. So something like this questionnaire, we have this information, will make it much easier for if the defense wants to challenge it, or if the prosecution has to defend it in court, it gives us a more accurate reading as to who we have.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Avery?
I first want to just say applaud the committee on this questionnaire. I like it 100% better than I did before. And I want to thank Roger, because I talked to you about this the other day, and he shared with me how it's not a matter of just moving things from a simple Word document. It's very tedious, and it's a lot that goes into revising this document. So I thank you so much for all of that. I appreciate that. I don't really have any questions other than just comments to say that I really like the changes that we worked on together. And also to apologize, I was on a conference call and then I thought I had more time, my clock was wrong, so I apologize for being late. And the other thing I would like to say is that I don't have an agenda, but I would like to say to the committee that we have a presentation by Kim Kranick, who has taken the time to come here. So I would like to see, I don't know what the agenda looks like, but I'd like to make that the next item on the agenda
The other thing I just wanted to mention to the committee is that although we're making the changes to this document, the programming necessary to actually make it interact with our computer system is not done and won't be done until we've all agreed what the final product is. And then we'll actually literally have to probably fly someone here from Texas to make the changes. Now, that's part of what I understand, that's part of our maintenance agreement with the company, that if we would change it, it's their responsibility to make those changes. If the representative from Judicial Systems does come to Illinois from Texas, I will endeavor to make him available to the committee should they have any more technical questions that I can't answer about how the system works or if there are any issues. He's a very nice guy, Gary Dowd, a very nice guy, who's come to Illinois several times, but what you see here is not part of our current system as of yet. It's just the template that he will use to, when we get it all finished, program into the system. And for lack of a better phrase, the reason why we have to have it programmed is these documents, these questionnaires are scanned in, and the data is taken off of there based on the scanning, which is why we have to have the programming to tell the computer where to look and what questions are being asked. So that's basically where we're at with that, but I want to let the committee know basically what the next part of the process was.
Thank you. Jen?
I have a few other questions about question 8 and some of the other questions, Mr. Holland, and perhaps no one other than I who have worked as a professional editor, and my seatmate, Mr. Weibel, would think about this. He's married to a professional editor. It seems that where I would use a comma, a semicolon appears. Is it that the commas are not available to on the whatever keyboard you're using?
Nope, I think that was probably just a typo, and we can get that fixed. That's not
wrong. I recognize it's very minor. I almost feel that I'm a fool to ask the question.
Well, please understand that we would probably get an English professor who would be on the get in jury duty and then cause us to want to change this anyway, so I'd rather get it done now than later.
Okay, well, while we're doing minor little things like that, the noun cross-section should be hyphenated.
Okay.
And I'd like to ask folks, regarding the instruction to fill in the response, which best describes your race, how do folks feel about please darken the square or darken the box next to the term that best describes your race or ethnicity? Or please mark the box next to the term that best describes your race, ethnicity. Or box it up.
So you don't like the please fill in the response?
No.
Okay. What don't you think it conveys?
I would like us to keep stay consistent. We're starting with please mark boxes. So because mark boxes is the term that's used in the first line under section C, I think it would I would like us to consistently refer to mark boxes elsewhere.
So please mark the boxes.
Please mark the boxes.
Box and then if you which best describe your race.
Okay. And that's language consistent with the comment from the census here. Respond at the top of the email that Pius provided. Respondents instructed to check one or more boxes.
Okay.
Thank you. So if you're grading this, Jenny, what's our grade so far?
Can I ask for extra credit?
Ms. Webber, do you have any further?
No, thank you.
Mr. Hall, I got a question. So, and I believe this was said earlier and I missed it, but now the section says, please mark the boxes, which best describes your race. Can we do like a slash ethnicity?
That's what I said.
You said, okay.
Yeah. Yep, that's what I said. The way I have it now is just so we're all on the same page. Please mark the box with DS in parentheses, boxes, which best describe your race slash ethnicity.
Okay. Does anyone else have any comments or questions on this question here?
And this one is actually substantive. Have we agreed on which of the boxes we're going to use? These six terms are the ones that Pius got from the census.
These are the ones, the reason that these are in here are these are the same ones that were on the one from Montgomery County.
Uh-huh.
Now I have to tell you, without having had a conversation with our company that handles our vendor, for I don't know whether they have the capacity to expand it to all of the possibilities that are included in the 2010 census.
Mm-hmm.
I also would be a little bit concerned that we may run out of space. On this document, space is a premium. Things are chopped up and moved around in order to try to, and we've done some work because we were able to get rid of some questions, which it made it a little bit easier, but not having had that conversation with Gary Dower and not knowing exactly how much space we have, I don't know how much more we can expand it. I have no objection to expanding it. I also don't know whether the computer system is able to capture it in a way that's meaningful, other than both the six options that we see here, but I can certainly find that out.
Yes, sir. I think this is fine the way it is, but if you wanted to expand it and needed more space, one way to perhaps come up with more space is to shorten the prior jury service. I'm not sure if you necessarily have to list all of those, just prior jury service and data service, because the judge is going to ask what kind of case it was, but that's just a thought if you need more space. If you don't need more space, I'd say that as it is.
And normally I would say we could cut down the remarks section, but the remarks, that area is really important when someone is suggesting that they need an exemption for some discussion.
Ms. Avery.
Why don't we just eliminate all of the races altogether and let people self-identify?
Because there would be no way for the computer system to capture it then, other than you would have to literally go through and manually look at every single question that comes in. When it's marked like this,
okay,
with a box, the computer will automatically capture
it. Can pick up stuff.
We can immediately just run statistics,
okay,
and indicate how many of what particular group is present, that sort of thing.
Okay.
If you simply write something in, someone will literally have to go through and do it manually.
Okay.
Any further comments or questions? Yes, Brian. At one point, we talked about having a nice sentence, and I don't know if there's still room for this on the front page, but it's a sentence in an earlier draft. Trial by jury is a fundamental principle of our system of justice. Jury service is therefore both an opportunity and an obligation of every American citizen. This kind of reminder about the importance of jury service in a democratic society. I don't know if there's room to put a sentence like that back on.
I think the reason that we took it out is because Judge Giovannis had a letter that's going to go out with the questionnaires, basically echoing those sentiments. So I thought that in order to save them on the actual questionnaire, we would simply include that letter, which we provided. I think it was, I think I might have a copy of it here.
Now, was that the follow-up letter? I think that was the follow-up letter.
No, there's an original letter. Enclosed, you will find a questionnaire designed to determine your eligibility for jury service in Champaign County. Dozens of civil and criminal jury trials conducted each year. The justice system cannot function without individuals who are willing and able to perform their civic duty in serving as jurors. Your participation ensures that trials are decided by a jury of one's peers. This is the foundation of the American justice system. So this letter, which basically has the same sort of themes, to be included in the questionnaire, and I think that sort of a letter from the judge, I think, actually adds a little bit to it and makes it a little bit nicer.
Okay, great. Now, but there is a separate follow-up letter that's kind of, excuse the shorthand, but it's the meeting letter.
Yes, and it is actually very similar in tone.
Thank you for the clarification.
And I have
them
both
there. Randy.
One of the thoughts under the section C about the month.
Can I use microphone, please?
One of the questions about the section C about the months, if we're trying to get people to be available and we want to encourage people to join to do this, I don't know if the computer allows under that section to have more than one spot, but I would suggest if we can do it to say, please mark the most convenient month or months. And that way, we've got a bunch of months. It might make it easier to find a good time.
Again, I don't know whether, because I think what happens is the computer automatically goes in and tries to put them in that location. So I don't know whether it's limited to one option. Again, that is a question that I can ask.
Okay. Ms. Butler, could you just know, in case you haven't, that Mr. Thompson and Ms. Kessel will join us. Thanks. Does anyone else have any further comments or questions? Ms. Justin.
At some point, we want to make sure we're done with this so we can.
Yes.
So. Can I suggest that everyone take it home, think about it, go over it again, email Roger with suggestions. I don't care how we get it done, but at some point we've got to get this put into the computer and ready to go out so we can send it out. So right now, if this is the finished product, great, we'll go with it. But
I would agree. I would like to. You know, I'm not chair of this committee. I'm just playing one tonight. So, but I would. I would like to see us make a final decision on this questionnaire, and then you know, Judge Promise can keep us updated on how you know it goes out and how all that's working. But at some point, I think this committee needs to be finished with the questionnaire. So, how do you feel about Judge Promise kind of saying, you know, reading this over, being very well acquainted with it, sending any questions to Mr. Holland, and then apparently our next meeting is the 23rd. At that meeting, we'll be ready to, you know, say yay or nay to it. If there are any corrections we do want to make at that meeting or changes, you know, wording or something, we can make those then and then say, you know, approve it with corrections noted. How do people, can't see a show of hands of people that are fine with that? Okay, I think we're good.
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
I'd like to suggest I work best if I'm given a deadline to say, Jenny, after November blank, I don't want to hear from you as well. Like if you could give us a deadline, and that will like help people be more disciplined in replying.
Well, because this does take time to actually produce, I would like to get answers sooner rather than later. Obviously, the next meeting is 2 weeks from today, so if we can get any kind of changes done by the end of next week, 1 week from today, that would give probably our program enough time to put that in. In addition, I will send out an email early next week, now given Monday is the court holiday and it will be Tuesday, letting you know what I found out from our vendor with regard to Mr. Rosenbaum's question about the month or months and the number of possible options we can put in for race and whether or not the system can handle it. I will provide that information to you so that you'll have that information as well. And I'll do that early next week.
Okay, so October 16th?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right, I think we're in agreement on that. So moving on, old business. I think we're going to skip over that, the committee's approval, and move on to new business because item A there is regarding the possible grant opportunity and partnership with WILL. And we have Kimberly Chronic here. I would invite her to come up here with me if she feels comfortable to do so and talk to the committee.
I am Kimberly Cronick, and I'm the Director of Community Engagement at Illinois Public Media, which is WILL, AM, FM, TV, and online. I'm also the co-director of the Youth Media Workshop, which is a collaboration between Dr. Will Patterson and WILL that works with African American youth in the schools to create radio and television that reflects their culture and history and for community change. So the reason that I was here is I was invited by Eric Ammons, who approached me about a need or for some type of video that would, my understanding is, reach out to the African American community to try to increase the representation of African Americans on jury selection, is what I was understanding. And that he thought that our youth with the Youth Media Workshop could be involved in that effort. So I was very interested in the idea, and at the same time that he approached me and told me about the work of this committee, lo and behold, the Vice Chancellor's Office of Public Engagement is offering a grant to do this work. I can tell you that video production, professional video production, is cost between $500 and $1,000 per finished minute of video.
Would you say that again, please?
$500 to $1,000 per minute of finished video is the range, the going rate. I can also tell you that video on its own is just part of the process, and that's where engagement comes in, and that we can produce, or anyone can produce, or someone can produce a great video, and if it just sits there and doesn't have a community context for it, it may not have the intended outcome. So what this grant opportunity offers is for Illinois Public Media to work with a community partner to address a community need, and that community partner would, in writing, explain what the expectations are of the partnership, what the outcomes would be. We would define what the problem is that we're trying to address, how the video addresses that problem, how that video would be used, again, so it doesn't just sit on the shelf or get aired once and nothing happens. So that's where combining our ability to work with youth, educate them, have them create a culturally relevant video within a community context that would have events surrounded, dialogues, as well as here's the video, take it, use it however you want, that there would be that as part of this partnership is the way I see it, having not spoken to you directly as a potential partner except for now, that's the way I see it as possibly going. So what would happen is if you're interested in this, the way I would propose we work together is somebody would work with me to create a letter of intent from this group as a community partner as to what we would be doing together, why and how. And then I would write up what WILL's role would be and how what we would do and who we would use and what we expect the outcome to be is how we would proceed. I have written grants for this particular RFP before and have gotten them. So I think we have a good shot of doing it, and that might, this grant may be a way to meet your need. And also why WILL would be interested is the Youth Media Workshop, we would take it to the next level where our kids are now producing, they would get paid, we would pay them to do this video. And it would take them their skills to another level, and they would learn a great deal about the system and the needs. And we would work with them professionally and do that. So I guess that's kind of how I see it when I look at this opportunity and the two forces maybe merging together. If you are interested, I can tell you that the proposal has to be written and turned in by November 2nd, and whichever partner would be involved working with us has to have a letter of commitment attached to that proposal. So what I'm willing to do, if there's interest, I'm willing to work with an individual to go through that process and submit this, and then, you know, see what happens. We would know, then the project would have to be completed in the next calendar year. And when I say project, that's why I'm not just saying video, because I see it as a teaching tool, an engagement tool, a piece of video that can be broadcast and rebroadcast, that can also be used in community context, that we would make multiple copies of whatever
The grant partner, is that an actual, that's when they clear, is that a person or is that a body?
It has. It needs to be an organization, and it could be, so, for example, we could partner with the county board, I guess, is what it would be. I don't think you partner with the committee. It has to be an organization.
This is a procedural question for IS. So would it then be, it would not be this committee, it would be, would it be the full board then that would be considered the grant partner?
We probably could do that.
Yeah, I'm just asking, so we're kosher on it.
I think we could.
Okay, if that's the case, does the board have to take some sort of action on this, like at a meeting or?
Well, we'll probably make a recommendation to Justice. But Justice is prepared to make this meeting.
So that being the case, then if this needs to be done by, the proposal needs to be done by November 2nd.
Well, then we just take out the full board.
Take the full board. So since we've already had a Justice meeting this month, we'll just do a full, put it on the agenda for the full board.
Yeah.
What is that?
20th? The Tuesday, 22nd? Whatever Tuesday is.
Yeah,
I mean, our meeting is the 23rd.
Hmm?
Is this, our meeting is the 23rd, right? Is that what it says? So.
No.
It doesn't give a lot of time to get started in the process before the approval. I mean, I don't know if you would be willing to work with somebody sort of before it's been approved. I mean, I think we're still able to be approved.
Yeah, I don't think any effort we might do to explore this issue together would be wasted, whether the grant was gotten or not. I think if you can empower somebody to work with me, we could start on it soon.
I'll work with Kimberly on it, but I do need some guidance on how this would all work and what we would actually be presenting to the full board.
We'll talk about that on Monday.
Okay. Touch upon
this. As a backup, if there's any problem with the county doing it, I'll sign off on it.
Thank you.
As long as you do work.
Yeah. Hi, Kimberly. A question. So do you have an idea or some kind of idea already what kind of video project or how would the youth actually be involved, be able to educate about the importance of being involved in the civic duty regarding jury service? What are you looking at now?
Yeah. Well, if you think of it, the way I would look at it is, and propose to them is they're the producers and the county board is the client. And the product is the video and engagement effort around this need, this community need. So what they would do is we would be in with them and they would be asking the questions, they would be asking what the need is, they'd be asking what the evidence is. They'd be asking you, what do you want? Do you want poetry in it? Do you want music? Do you want talking heads? They would ask those questions of you, of the client, and your answers would be based on your knowledge of how this video would be used to create the change you want. And so they're going to be involved from the beginning, except the proposal writing stage, that would be me. And so then we would kind of hand it off to them and guide them along the way. So they would be doing the research or reading the research you've already done, and then talking about how do you make this culturally real? What's the purpose of it? And that would be what you would decide as, quote, the client, if you just think of it in that way. They're the producers, you're the client, the community is the audience.
Ms. Avery.
First, I have to say, Joan, she is a great community partner to be engaged with. And particularly when we talk about the youth media workshop that she's talking about and engaging this project. The question would be, would you already have the youth that would be the producers of this video, or would you be opening to other youth that might be interested in being part of this particular project?
I can answer that. It's kind of yes and both. And what I mean by yes is, when in the history of the youth media, we've had three I don't know if anyone's seen the Douglas Cord, the Beyond Beats and Rock, the drum corps video that the young people made. At the beginning, was on, it's Friday, it's a long week. Okay, thank you, Brian. And so we started with 12, we ended up with 3 who saw through the whole process. So video production, I just want to say, is a small number of people doing it. It's not by committee, it's not a large group. So I would go back to those young men who produced that and give them that opportunity. If they are not available, we would look for 2 or 3 youth. I think that's what we need, 2 to 3 to carry this through throughout however long it takes. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, well, you know where I'm curious as to know is that would you be interested in looking at the youth networks that are currently involved in this community?
Possibly. We would tap first those who already have the skill that we know because we've trained them. If they're not available, we would then, with our professional staff, teach whoever is. When these young men made it, they didn't have any experience before, and they were able to make this great thing. So by dedicating our staff, and that's where most of the grant money would go for us, is to work with the youth, whether we're training people from the beginning who have some media experience like the E2Y youth we work with, or the other folks who did the first video. So I would say, it's yes, we have some in mind, and we would be open to new folks if these gentlemen aren't available.
A statement and then a couple questions. Kim, I'm the recording secretary of this group, and it was at our last meeting that Chair Ammons mentioned a private communication with you and Will Patterson about the possibility of a collaboration. And as the minute taker, I wanted to include in the minutes the correct titles of Will Patterson and Kimberly Chronic. So I typed this stuff into my web browser. And for any of you who are not yet familiar with the youth media workshop with Will Patterson or with Kim Chronic, and you want to do just a little bit of research, go ahead. Okay, here's Jenny talking. It will blow your mind. You will say that this is a godsend or it's serendipitous or that we are so fortunate to have the spirit and ability and energy of these folks. So, yay, if this works. Okay, that's my personal comment. Maura, for the minute taker over here, you mentioned a letter of intent that has to be submitted by November 2nd. Is that different from the letter of commitment?
Well, I think I might have used those terms to mean the same thing. Let me double check this right here. Letter of commitment is the actual phrase.
Okay. Then, probably other folks are wondering, we are competing with other noble public-spirited entities for limited dollars in the vice chancellor's pot. Do you know how many people we're competing with for how many large dollars in the pot?
I think they want to give out about 10 of these $20,000 grants. And I can tell you, we're competing with other proposals within WIOL.
That's right.
And Will also has another proposal. So I think in that sense it might be good. The competition might be good. It's all good work. And unfortunately, in this time of, for us, decreased state funding, we have to cover our costs. And so when this opportunity came up, we were like, wow, we can put those two things together. And almost everyone else is in the same situation. So, yeah, I think it's a highly competitive process. And what's new to this process from when we first wrote and got a grant is this letter of commitment. They're really saying this has to be about change. It has to be about really working with another organization, really defining what the problem is. It really has to have legs, I think. And I think, it's always subjective to some level, and it depends on how well you are at writing it. But, I think we do have that history of doing work in the community, and so I hope that we'll have an edge, and we'll see if we go forward.
Mr. Thompson, and then...
Okay, I'll ask another question, maybe this will help me better understand. say, for example, says we are the clients, and you guys would be producing something for us. For example, on this page, let's say it's page one, as a, you guys can do a public service announcement where it states in the third paragraph, if a judge or so orders, a jury should also receive reimbursement for the actual cost of daycare incurred by a jury then doing his or her service on the jury. Would that be something that you could educate the community on about, you know, having this knowledge being put out there so that minorities that have issues with daycare and may have issues with transportation will have a clear understanding of this is what I heard, and this, you know, similar to a public service announcement, public awareness, public service announcement. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, if that's what you all want, when we sit down, what we'll have is a meeting where we'll sort of talk about those ideas. What are you? Are you talking about a 20-minute video? Is it an educational video? Is it a public service campaign? You know, we'll have those discussions and we'll ask you, okay, if you're choosing this format, what kind of content do you want in it? What kind of storytelling do you want? Do you want it to have poetry in it? Do you want it to have music? Do you want it? So all these questions would be the details of what we would do together if we were working together. So yes, I'm going to answer that right now myself, but we would have that conversation to determine those elements. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mr. Chairman.
What would be the time frame between, you know, if the green dollars are secured, time frame for production from beginning to completed product?
Mm-hmm. Well, the grant period itself is January through December, so we would have to be done within that time frame, and we may finish earlier than that, but it would be January through December.
Okay. So, talking with Mr. Holland and Judge Stephanis a minute ago. So we're going to at least initially run this through the circuit court. Do you guys want to talk about that, about the, how you're going to?
I think it depends on how fast things can move. Maybe a conversation that we ought to have with Pius maybe next week and find out. I think it also depends on the language of how the grant is worded. In other words, and I have very limited experience with grant writing and grants, so I'm not at all an expert on this, but I know that in the past we've had situations where it had to be a public body that was the recipient or the partner. The circuit court is not a public body. It's not, I don't think technically it was defined that way. However, because we're on such a short time frame, it may be that you have to have a partner, and maybe the definition is broad enough that it would include the circuit court, at which point we're willing to do whatever we can to make this go. So it's not a reluctance on our part, but I just want to make sure that we jump through whatever hoops are necessary. And obviously, the county board is very familiar with grants, accepts grants, and does things with grants all the time. So my guess is there would be the optimal solution, but if we need to be, we would jump in, and I'm sure the judge upon us would be happy to talk about that some more, or sign off and approve whatever needs to be done.
Yeah, can I comment on that? I think basically, since it's a university grant, what it would be is that Illinois Public Media would be the recipient of the grant, and the board or the circuit court, whatever, would be the partner. And what I think that this body, I don't mean to be presumptuous, but what I think it is that you're agreeing to submit the letter of intent, letter of commitment to be our partner, is what we would think.
That's not a problem at all.
Yeah, okay. as long as you're going to be the grant recipient, then that takes, that's the whole thing. Yeah, the letter of intent is not going to be a problem.
Okay, we'll be glad to.
Does the scope of the grant authorize funding simply for production of the video, or would it also entail perhaps some costs involved in playing it on the air or
We would include that as what we provided. We can spend the money any way we want, and we would put most of it toward staff and paying the young people who are making it and producing the media and multiple copies of that is what we're doing.
So when we sit down and talk to you about the details of it, obviously if we come up with an idea that would cost us $15,000 to produce, but we get a $20,000 grant, we could design the grant proposal in such a way that the $5,000 could be used to pay for airtime to play on the radio or television.
Well, as the we can air it because we have a outlet. I mean, we have radio and TV, so that's not going to cost anything. If you're talking about commercial, yeah, that would be. And I'll be frank, I don't think we were looking at it that way. But yeah, it would have to build. That would have to be built in. Mm-hmm. And I think as we go through this grant process, we'll be really crystal clear on who's doing what and what the outcome's going to be. It'll be all be in black and white. Yeah.
Ms. Butler.
Kim, I'd like to enlarge a little bit about, I think, where Randy Rosenbaum may have been going with that. If we make something wonderful, and I've not known you to produce anything but wonderful media, we would keep it to Champaign County. I mean, this would be good for the entire state. No, this would be good for any place where we have courts. Because having people want to participate and understand why it's important to participate as a juror is important in our country. So I think maybe that's why Randy was asking how we could market it elsewhere, mm-hmm. or get it to be shown elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think there's separate phases of what you do. I think there's the community need, there's the partners, there's the product that's going to meet that needs within a larger context. And part of that context may be, okay, the thing gets done, then what's the next step? How do you then maybe take it beyond this county? I would also be curious if there's already a culturally relevant video like this out there somewhere that someone's already made that would be worth looking at or not. I don't know. And it is true, it might be the case that this video would be of interest to other counties who don't have the resources or a broadcaster that's willing to work with them to create something like this.
Let's see.
What might be possible, Kim, is that we could set it up on the county's website for viewing.
Mm-hmm.
What also could be possible is in using other types of technology where people are using their internet a lot, that it's possible that we can put it out there for viewing in that way. Mm-hmm. So there are a number of ways that I can see of marketing or putting our product out to market in a way that, especially youth, they get very creative in how they get videos and Facebook and YouTube and all those kinds of ways that they like to use the internet. But I do also want to market it to, mm-hmm. to the, you know, a larger audience. So I too am kind of curious as to how we have the funds to get it out to a broader market. But we can talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Any further questions, comments?
Can I ask one?
Yeah.
Okay, so I feel like I heard you say that I'm hearing support for this from everybody, and that I will work with you to create the proposal.
First, let's see what happens in this next week. I work with the Circuit Court puts together, and
thank you.
And then we'll see who exactly.
Okay, so then how I'll do this meeting knowing that someone will contact me. Yes. Meanwhile, I'll report back to the our station that there is interest and we're working out the details.
If you can let me know if there's any special form after the letter.
Okay, yeah.
You can send me an email at that email address and I will get the letter drafted really next week.
Okay, that's wonderful. Thank you, everyone.
Okay, yeah, this is for just some clarification. It sounds like we're deciding between whether the county board backs it or whether the circuit clerk's office backs it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's right. I'll just read it out loud. It's very short, if you don't mind. I can leave that. Basically, when Aaron and Brian, I have some communication with several of you, and I put the link to the RFP, but I can just read that section. Letter of commitment. If your proposed project includes an external partner, please include a participation letter that clearly defines the partner's level of participation, a description of the partner's expectations of the benefit and outcomes of the proposed partnership. So in other words, I mean, that's what it is. And it needs to come from, you all will need to decide, is it coming from the board? Is it coming from the, you'll just tell me that. Because then that's who we're going to be producing this piece for and working with you once it's done to get it out there.
And because we're kind of on this fast track, it's very important to be clear in that letter and with this committee what our level of participation is going to be. And you know, I haven't discussed that, but I guess if Matt decides that he's going to work closely with then I guess you can report back to the committee what that level of participation is.
Whoever works with him. The info will be conveyed to the committee. We'll let Kimberly know next week who's going to be working with her and whether this is going to go through the Circuit Court or the County Board. That's a Shane Pius, I believe, because he could give input on this as well. But this will be worked out early next week. We are on a fast track for it. So we will be in touch with you about that.
Okay. And I certainly don't have any problem working with Kim, but I'm already working with her on one.
Yes. Okay. So, thank you for coming. Item B in our new business, education on what pool of money Jerry's stipends come from and what it would take to raise that stipend. Something. Yeah, yes, Mr. Holland.
I shared a packet of information for all of you. You should have been handed. The first piece of that is the actual statute. Which indicates that the county is to provide funding for TRP, and the minimum requirements, therefore, there's no money that comes from the state. This is a county obligation, and it is up to the county board to set the costs or price that we pay per diem, as well as mileage. We recently increased the mileage rate, but the per diem was kept the same. I'm sure there'll be more discussion on all this, but I'm going to kind of go through basically what I've given you so that way we don't have a whole lot of time today to talk about it. You can take a look at it. Another piece of what I gave you was a spreadsheet which shows what we have actually paid for jurors for fiscal year 2009. And you can see it averages about $3,000 a week. Now, these are only the per diems, in other words, the $10 a day that gets spent. And I have estimated, based on the number of jury dates, meaning the number of times an individual actually appears, what our annual cost is going to be this year, which is about $134,000, that's at $10. If we were to raise it to $15, the annual cost would go to $201,000 for an increase of $67,000. So if you look at it that way, every $5 that we spend on raising a per diem costs the county $67,000 as an estimate. So it sounds like it's an easy thing to, and obviously we would love it if we paid jurors what they're really worth, but that's the kind of cost we're talking about. And obviously going from $10 to $15 a day isn't that big of a deal probably for most people. And if you go to a realistic number or a much more realistic number, whatever that is, even $30 a day is way underestimating what people get. That would have cost the county over $250,000 a year, more than what we're paying now. So that just kind of gives you an idea of the cost associated with it. The last thing I gave you, and then I'll be happy to answer any questions, is the status of a House bill which died in committee. This House bill 4002. That bill would, among other things, have required the counties to establish a juror fund, which would have been paid for out of fees that would be assessed to private parties who are paying for civil litigation. The bill also added an additional, among, it did quite a few things. It limited the kind of forcing people to take benefit time to be on jury duty, and the final thing is that failure to to serve on jury duty, willful failure would be a Class C misdemeanor, punishable by a $500 fine. This bill, which I have the full text of, and you can actually get it off of the General Assembly website, which is where I got it, was basically, action was taken on it in May. It died in Judiciary 1. The Civil Law Committee lost on a 5-4 and 1 vote. It was then referred back to the Rules Committee, which, from my limited experience in the House, is where all bills go to die, and no further action was taken on it. But again, this is obviously an issue that some people in the General Assembly are taking seriously, and obviously this would have allowed us to pagers more because we would have had a fund from which to do it. So anyway, that's kind of an overview of the stuff that I provided to you, and I'll be happy to answer any questions that anybody might have about it.
Any questions? Yes, Ms.
I would love to work with the legislature and come back with a bill. That bill had a promise. You had the other until the point where it became a Class C misdemeanor.
Well, and that's only a small part of the bill. I mean, the rest of, and, you know, they're just looking to try to enforce people, to get people to show up. Obviously, it's kind of draconian to...
But you're working with the judge harder, and I don't want to do that. I think that there needs to be, I think that bill sounds like a promise, and maybe this, I would love to work with this committee on drafting legislation and working with some of those legislators who obviously, it seems like it did have some steam there, and maybe we can bring that back and work with those legislators, but I certainly, that might be the piece of the bill that got the interest in the first place, but because one thing takes care of the Class C misdemeanor is probably fine there, and I don't know, but I would love to work on drafting some legislation.
And I only brought this to the committee. I mean, I know as much about it as what I just told you. I haven't done any research. I just found it this week. So, again, it's just something where obviously people are thinking about this, and it is an important issue.
If you're going to contact your legislators about this potential bill, I agree with Ms. Avery, we don't need to put Class C misdemeanors in there.
Right.
You don't want to penalize them.
Right. We're trying to get people to want to serve.
Yes.
Sentence
number, sir. I
like that. I don't think that's
right. I think we want to talk to some legislators about this. I think we should be thinking about all these ideas, because a few meetings ago we talked about possibly talking to legislators about increasing the eligibility rates, So you want to increase participation, here's a bunch of ideas.
And that's exactly right. I like that idea. Like, even everyday employers, maybe.
What I'm hearing is people want to bring this back to a future meeting. A show of hands, people. Okay. Time and date of our next meeting is Friday, October 23rd, 5:30 p.m. Participation room.
Excuse me.
Yes.
I'd like to talk about the time of meeting.
Yes.
For those of us who are presently here, this Friday worked. I know at least one member is going to have difficulties making meetings as we get into winter and it gets dark earlier. Do people think this is a good time to meet, or would a... How are people... You know, we've been meeting since May or so. Are people content with the Friday every other week, or just anyone who has something to say about it, I'd love to hear.
Just one.
It certainly doesn't conflict with any other meetings. Or much else is going on. I understand that problem, but
I think that it may dampen people's ability, especially people who have difficulty with driving, especially in the wintertime. I guess I kind of envision the committee working where twice a month was necessary at the beginning, but then it might go back down to once a month. in a while, but it may be one of those things where if we divide up the tasks that are assigned to us, that not everybody would have to get together every 2 weeks. In other words, if there's a group that's working on the video, for example, you know, they have their own kind of set of issues that they can address. There may be other things, but the 5:30 Friday night is kind of a tough time, I think, in general. But obviously, if Patricia Fox is right, there's no conflict.
Yeah, I agree. Well, my thoughts on it are that maybe twice a month. We seem to be kind of almost making twice a month as a rule. That might be a little much, unless it's a bigger time where we absolutely feel we need to meet that often. I do remember, though, I don't know how much we can change the date or time, because the day of the week or the time, because I remember when this committee first met, it was a lot to get it to. I mean, there's a reason why it's on Fridays at 5:30. I do understand about certain members not being able to make it, especially if it's getting darker out. I'm driving out up there, and maybe carpool with somebody. If we meet at less frequent times, that means that, and this is my opinion, but we really need to perhaps be a bit more definitive on our decisions. We can still have discussion, but I think, we need to sort of maybe be even more firm on our decisions that we make on certain things and just be like, okay, this is it, and, we're approving this or not approving it and moving on. That's my opinion on that. Does anyone else have anything to offer? Okay. We can. I guess our next meeting time is already set, but we can bring this up to Cherry Ann's at the next meeting and see what we have to say. Yes.
I got a phone call from Chair Hammonds. He sends his greetings to everyone. Sorry he couldn't be here, but he said we'll see you later in a couple weeks.
Yes?
This is just a reminder. Thanks to Trish Avery, we have the invitation from one of our jury commissioners. If people are free on Wednesday, the 14th of October, if you would like to accept Wanda Adams' invitation to see what a session of the jury commission is like. Judge DePontis, do they work all day long? Is it like 9 to 5?
I think they work, but basically most of their work is done in the mornings, and they kind of leave basically when there's just not anybody waiting. Usually people who come to the jury commission, it's been my experience, that they get there relatively soon as it opens, and then the numbers dwindle as time goes on. So I know that they're there for 4 or 5 hours a day on the one day that they're there. And it would be as you would anticipate. People come in and meet with the three of them and give their reasons why they don't think they can participate.
Can I suggest I've been through a jury before, I kind of know the shtick, but it would be tremendously helpful if one of the jury commissioners was able to come to a meeting and perhaps answer some questions. I don't know. You'd be able to extend an invitation to them if they'd be willing.
I'd be happy to.
Wanda Adams is an employee of the court of the county, so she may be able to do that. I know that Anna Scarab is in Boston, so it's kind of hard for her to make it in town all the time. And I don't know about Jean Suggs, but I'm sure Wanda would be happy to arrive.
Okay. And don't forget, get any comments, any questions you want to see or suggestions about the questionnaire to Roger by the week from today, the 16th. Right. Okay, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. So we would find us. Second by Holland. All those in favor? All right. We're adjourned.
Oh.
I think we just pull it out. Like, I don't know if something has to be turned off there.
Yeah, probably shouldn't give me
Well, there is a stop button.
Okay.